All right, my friends, if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to open them to Acts 14. And while you're turning there, let me say thank you to Gail and to Josh, who led worship last week. Pastor Bob is this morning at First Baptist Church in Salisbury. Was there last week. He's just preaching the word for them while their pastor is on a mission trip. He'll be back next week, but we are blessed for sure to be able to have great worship while our worship pastor is being sent out to serve around our community. And Josh Barnett, well done, brother. Well done. Excellent song, choir, well done. Acts chapter 14. Let me ask you, how many of y'all are brave enough to admit that you have taken one of those DNA tests? A 23andMe DNA test. How many of y'all have taken those? I'm a little afraid to take one. I've never taken one. And I'm a little afraid because whatever made this, I don't want to know where this came from, you know? I'm afraid that my ancestors might be aliens from Mars or Kansas, one of the two, and both of those are bad options. When you take those DNA tests, you can find out a lot about yourself. Those DNA tests can tell you, they can show you health risks, things that you're susceptible to. But the primary reason for taking a 23andMe, a DNA test, is to learn more about your heritage, to learn more about where you came from. We're all curious about that, aren't we? Where did we come from? What were our ancestors like? And I wonder if one of them is, one of our relatives is named Lamar, and he has billions of dollars. Lamar Hunt, who we hope is a long-lost relative of Michael and Laura Hunt. Lamar Hunt owns the Chiefs, and so it's got to be God's plan, right? Well, you ever wonder what could happen if you could somehow take a spiritual DNA test? Instead of a 23andMe, it'd be a Psalm 23andMe. If you took a spiritual DNA test, like, what would it reveal? Like, I know who led me to faith, but who led that person to faith in Christ? And who led that person to faith in Christ? And who led that person to faith in Christ? In other words, who is my spiritual great-great-great-grandfather? Or grandmother. I can't tell you who that person is, but I can tell you something about my spiritual heritage. And in fact, I can tell you something about your spiritual heritage. You want to know what it is? You and I, every single Christian in all the world, living today, living since Acts chapter 13 and 14, every single Christian in the world can trace their spiritual DNA, their heritage of faith, back to the sending church in Antioch of Acts chapter 13 and 14. Now, we could clearly go back even further than that if we wanted, but we know this. We can trace our salvation story back to the men, women, teenagers, and children that gathered together in a place called Antioch and sent out a mission team for the sake of the gospel and the glory of God among the lost. Now to be clear, God is the one who saves. And Jesus is the one who secured our salvation. But it's the Holy Spirit who sends out His people to tell people about who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and why it matters. And 9 weeks ago, we looked at Acts chapter 13. And we saw how the Holy Spirit used the church in Antioch to send out a mission team for the very first mission trip to take the gospel to the Gentiles around the world. And I want you to see something. Look in your Bibles real quick. Just back up to Acts chapter 13. Verses 2 and 4. And just want you to see something real quick. The church in Antioch is preparing to send out their mission team. And look at verses 2 and 3. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. It says, "As they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then after they had fasted, prayed, and laid hands on them, they sent them off." Verse 4. "So being sent out by the Holy Spirit," pause for just a second, who sent out Barnabas and Saul? The Holy Spirit. Amen. You're right. Did the Holy Spirit send out Barnabas and Paul? Yes. Who else sent out Barnabas and Saul? Look in verse 3. There's a pronoun there, third person plural. Then after who? They had fasted, prayed, laid hands on them. Who? They sent them off. Do you know what that means? That means the people in Antioch had to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to accomplish the glory of God around the world, accomplish bringing the glory of God and the gospel around the world. They, the sending church, played a pivotal role in the spread of the gospel around the world. They were a part of church plants that we're going to talk about today. They were a part of the lost coming to faith in God. They were a part of the mission of God, and many of them never left Antioch. Instead, what did they do? They sent them to the ends of the earth with the hope of the gospel. And I can tell you, church family, we as a church, can you bring up the next slide, Steve? We as a church are going to send them, they, our mission team to Renick next week with the hope of the gospel. Now, many of you here, many of you, most of you are not going to Renick. Some of you may never enter the city limits at Renick. But let me tell you this, you, church family, are a part of the church plant in Renick. So hear me. Every single person that comes to faith at Renick or because of Renick will be able to trace their spiritual DNA back to you. Because you are going to play a pivotal role in planting the church in Renick. Can't you see this is God's plan from Scripture? This is God's plan for the spread of the gospel, churches planting churches for the glory of God. That's the plan that God created in Acts 13 and 14, the plan that He laid out. That's the plan that we've been studying the last 2 months, and now we come to the conclusion of that plan. And what we're going to see today is three results of a kingdom-minded sending church. Three results, three things that are going to happen when we send out our mission team next week. You're going to see some things that the sent team will do. And you're going to see some things that we will do as the sending church. With your Bibles open to Acts chapter 14, let me invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. We're going to read in beginning in verse 21, and we're going to go down to verse 28. And God's Word says this: after they had preached the gospel in that town and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch, strengthening the disciples by encouraging them to continue in the faith and by telling them it is necessary to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church and prayed with fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. They passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. After they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attaliah, and from there they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. After they arrived and gathered the church together, they reported everything God had done with them, and that He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a considerable time with the disciples. Would you pray with me? Father, we are grateful for the day. Lord, grateful for Your Word. Grateful for the privilege that You've given us as a church to play a role in taking the gospel to places like Renick. But beyond that, taking the gospel to places like Juarez and Myanmar. And Lord, beyond that, taking the gospel even to our neighbors and our co-workers and our classmates and even our families. God, You are so good and gracious. We thank You. We thank You that Your Word is so good. And Father, I pray that right now that You would help us to focus our hearts on Your Word. And I pray, God, that You would move in a mighty way in the lives of the people in this room, in the lives of the people who are joining on the radio, in the lives of the people who are watching on YouTube. God, I pray that You would move in a mighty way. We pray, God, You would save the lost. We pray, God, You would edify the saved. And we pray, God, You would glorify Yourself. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Three results of a kingdom-minded sending church. Number one, a kingdom-minded sending church makes and strengthens disciples wherever they are. For context, here's a map of Paul and Barnabas' first mission trip. You can tell Antioch is over on the far right side. They left Antioch and went down to Cyprus. They went up to Perga and Pamphylia, and then they went to Antioch and Pisidia. That's on the north, on the top side of the map, the north side of the map. Over to Iconium, down to Derbe. And then they did something incredible. When they were in Derbe, they began to circle back to all of those communities that they had ministered in, that they had preached in, that they had made disciples in. And what did they do when they went there? Well, look in your Bibles, verse 21. It says, after they had preached the gospel in that town, that's Derbe, by the way, verse 23 tells us that, or verse 20 rather tells us that, after they had preached the gospel in Derbe, they made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch. Verse 22, what does your Bible say? Strengthening the disciples. How? By encouraging them to continue in the faith. So how did they strengthen the disciples? Well, two ways are given here. First, they encouraged them to continue in the faith. Your translation, look in your translation of verse 23. Your translation might say something like, they strengthened the souls of the disciples. Does your translation say that in verse 23? They strengthened the souls of the disciple. I love that, by the way. I think it captures really what they did. It reminds me of Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 5. It's a beautiful psalm that shows us someone who is longing for God. And let me read to you verse 5. Listen closely. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you in such turmoil? Let me ask you, have you ever felt that way before? Your soul's downcast. You're in turmoil. It's difficult to describe what it feels like when your soul hurts. You're disappointed in yourself for failing so miserably and dishonoring God, or maybe you're disappointed in the ways life has happened, or maybe you're disappointed that someone has hurt you in some way, and it hurts your soul, and you say, why, my soul, are you so downcast? It's hard to describe what that feels like, but you know this much. When your soul hurts, it hurts. And you, with the psalmist, say, why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why are you in such turmoil? That's only the first half of verse 5. Can I read the second half to you? Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why are you in such turmoil? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, my salvation. Listen, there are times in all of our lives where our soul needs ministered to. And Paul and Barnabas, as they went back to the churches, they ministered to the souls, they strengthened the souls of the disciples by encouraging them to continue in the faith. And you say, what does it mean to encourage someone to continue in the faith? I can tell you with one word. Are you ready? Persevere. Keep going. I know it hurts. I know it's hard, but keep going. Don't give up. Don't deconstruct your faith. Keep going. That's one of the jobs of a pastor, by the way. The job of a pastor is like that of a coach, and the job of the coach is to help the players work together to accomplish things as a team that they could not do alone. And sometimes the job of the coach is to be the biggest cheerleader for the team. Let me tell you a story. 1977, the New Mexico State Aggie suited up for a basketball game. Basketball is my favorite sport. I love it. They suited up for a basketball game against the Bradley Braves. Now, help me. At tip-off, somebody tell me what the score is at tip-off. Nothing to nothing at tip-off. 0-0. But after the first 6 minutes of play, the score was Bradley 28, New Mexico State 0. 28-0. 6 minutes without a single point being scored. Now, how do you think that coach encouraged and inspired his team that day? How hard do you think it was for the coach to pull his team in the huddle and say, keep going, keep shooting, you're going to make it eventually, we can come back, we can do it? That had to be one of the hardest things to tell his team, and that had to be one of the hardest things for his team to believe, down 28-0. Well, with 13:33 to go in the first half, New Mexico State finally got a bucket, and it was 28-2. By halftime, they were down 7. With 10 minutes left in the second half, they were tied. And by the end of the game, the New Mexico State Aggies had come all the way back and won the game 117 to 109. The job of the coach is to strengthen his team by encouraging them to continue in the game, to follow the game plan. The job of the coach is to remind his team that victory is on the way. Victory is coming. Listen, the job of a pastor is to strengthen the team by encouraging them to follow the game plan, to persevere in the faith. Let me ask you, are you going through rough times? Going through a difficult season? Is your soul downcast? Listen to me, do not give up. Keep going. Keep fighting. Keep walking. Keep living for the glory of God. And I can guarantee you, at the end of this life, you will close your eyes in this life and you will open them in the next. And you know what the scoreboard will say? Victory in Jesus. To God be the glory. Paul and Barnabas strengthened the disciples by encouraging them to continue in the faith. Secondly, they encouraged them by just telling them the truth. Sometimes it can be hard to tell the truth. Look at the hard truth in verse 22. It says, they strengthened the disciples by encouraging them to continue in the faith and by telling them. It is, what does your Bible say? Necessary. Not optional. Not maybe. Necessary to go through many hardships and to enter the kingdom of God. Do you see the hard truth that they just shared with these believers? Listen, if someone comes up to you and tells you that if you come to faith in Christ, you'll become healthy, wealthy, and problem-free, you need to walk away because they're not telling you the truth. The truth is, when you come to faith in Christ, according to the Bible, it is necessary for you to encounter many hardships. That's Bible. That's Acts 14:22, and I wish that weren't the case. Like, I wish we could come to faith in Christ and wake up the next morning and have an empty health record and a full bank account, but that just doesn't happen. Instead, it is necessary to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. So what do you do when you're going through hardships? Not one hardship, but many hardships, one after the other, after the other, after the other. What do? You follow the game plan. You persevere. If you're a believer in Christ, you've already won. There is victory in Jesus. A kingdom-minded sending church makes and strengthens disciples wherever they are. Secondly, a kingdom-minded sending church provides leadership and support for the church plants. Hear me, it is God's plan that churches plant churches. That is God's plan in the Bible. We see that fleshed out in the book of Acts. It's God's plan that sending churches plant churches. And these sending churches then provide support and help for the church plant that the plant would not otherwise have. Look at verse 23. Verse 23, when they had appointed elders for them in every church. Do you see that? When they had appointed elders for them in every church and prayed with them, prayed with fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Now, you don't know this, but for the last several months, Patrick Argent and I have met every Tuesday at 8:30 in the morning, and we have met to pray and plan and prepare for Renick. And we entered into our Gideon phase. What was it, Patrick? 2 months ago? 3 months ago? You know the story of Gideon where he threw out the fleece. He wanted to know God's will, so he threw his fleece out. That's sort of what we did. We threw out our fleece. We said, Lord, if Patrick is going to be the guy who you want to be the pastor in Renick, then you're going to have to confirm it. Confirm it with him. Confirm it with me. You'll have to confirm it. And praise be to God, I'm happy to report to you today that God has, in fact, confirmed it. And Patrick will be the pastor at Renick. And so here's how you need to view the work in Renick. We're going to launch on April the 6th, and here's how you need to view that. Patrick is the pastor at Renick. We are going to appoint him as pastor, Acts 13, verse 23. The church will confirm that when they constitute, but we're going to appoint him from God as the pastor in Renick. And he is going to be their pastor, their guy. You may not know this, but Patrick has a full-time job, and he's got some flexibility with that job, but But he's going to be a bivocational pastor. He's also a professor. And he teaches some computer stuff that I can't begin to understand. And though Patrick has been a pastor for many years, he's primarily been a worship pastor. And we love worship pastors. But the difference would be that in Renick, Patrick is going to have the extra burden, the extra responsibility of preparing a weekly sermon. And so that's going to take some getting used to. That's going to take some time. We need to help him with that. And that's where I come in. So view it like this. Patrick is going to be the pastor in Renick. He is going to shepherd the people in Renick. He's going to teach them Bible studies. He's going to counsel with them. He's going to develop his team. And he's going to plan, and they're going to execute events. And then for a short time, him and I are going to share the preaching load. So I'm going to preach in Renick, and he's going to pastor in Renick until he's comfortable enough to be the pastor in Renick, preaching and pastoring every single week. And you say, how is that going to happen? Well, we're going to begin church in Renick at 9 a.m. Hard stop at 10 a.m. And I'll be back over here by 10:15, 10:20, so that I can then worship and preach here with my church family at First Baptist Church. And at some point over the next 6 to 12 months, the church in Renick will constitute. They will become their independent, autonomous church. And when that happens, we're going to do what verse 23 says. Look at what it says, verse 23. We're doing the first half of this now. When they had appointed elders for them in every church, they did what? Prayed with fasting, and then committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So when that day comes that Renick becomes an autonomous church, and we're going to get there as quick as we can, but slow enough for Patrick to rock it. I don't mean rock it. I mean rock at it. We want the church to be healthy. We want the church to grow. We want all of those things to happen, but we want to constitute that church as quickly as possible, and we want to do what verse 23 says, commit them to the Lord with prayer and fasting. And then we take a more hands-off role with the work in Renick. That's what a sending church does. They make and strengthen disciples, and they provide leadership and support for church plants. But lastly, I want you to see this, verse 25, in our third point. A kingdom-minded sending church celebrates and promotes God's work among the nations. Verse 27. I said verse 25. Skip down to verse 27. It says, after they had arrived in Antioch and gathered the church in Antioch. They've gone home in verse 27. After they've arrived in Antioch and gathered the church in Antioch, they reported everything God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent considerable time with the disciples. What a beautiful blueprint the church at Antioch has given us for how to plant churches. They recognized the ones whom God has called. They sent them off in Acts 13, 1 through 3. Next week, by the way, we're going to do the same. You want to be here next week, and you want to call everyone who's not here and tell them to be here next week. Next week, we're going to do the exact same thing. We're going to model our worship service after Acts 13, 1 through 3, which means we're going to worship, we're going to pray, we're going to worship, we're going to worship, we're going to worship and worship some more, and I'm going to preach a very short sermon, and all God's people said, why y'all got to be so loud with it? Every time y'all are loud with that. And then we're going to bring up our sent team. We're going to bring up Patrick and Christina and their family. We're going to bring up Zach and Abby and Gabby. And we're going to send them off. As a church, we're going to pray for them. In fact, as a church, we're going to pray with fasting for them. If you have a bulletin, there's a prayer guide in there for you this week. 7 days of prayer. And what I've asked you to do this week is to fast. To fast from something. You might fast from a meal. That's historically what you do. You fast from food. You might choose to fast from technology. Fast from something. So that when you show up here on Sunday morning, you are prayed up with fasting. And when you fast, let your hunger, let your hunger for that thing, whether it's food or technology or something else, let that hunger remind you that you are totally 100% dependent upon God. He is the one who sustains you. When you fast, you're going to become hungry. And when you become hungry, you pray to God. You thank Him. You thank Him for sustaining you. You ask Him to revive you, to renew you. You listen to what He says and you watch what He does. And while you're fasting and while you're praying, you pray for our SCENT team. Pray for Christina and Patrick and their family. Pray for Gabby and Abby and Zach. Pray for them. Because next week they are leaving First Baptist Church for a good reason. We are sending them to Renick. They won't be here on the 6th. Why? Because they'll be in Renick. Next week, our entire worship service will be patterned after Acts 13, 1 through 3. And then at some point, 6 months down the road, we're going to do exactly what Antioch does again here in verse 27. Look at what they did in verse 27. We are going to celebrate the work of God, not just in Renick, but through the people in Renick, by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 27. After they had arrived and gathered the church together, so they came back, the SCENT team came back to the sending church. They reported everything God had done with them and that He had opened the door of faith to the Gentile. Notice two things here. First, notice it was God who accomplished the work through them. Paul and Barnabas could have gotten back on the stage and reported everything that they had done. But that isn't what they did, is it? Look in your Bible, verse 27. What does it say? They reported everything who? God had done with them. They knew that it was God who was doing the work through them. Secondly, they knew that it was God who opened the door of faith for the Gentiles. Do you see that? Look at the end of verse 27. They reported everything God had done with them and that He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So when we take our Psalm 23 and me spiritual DNA test, we can trace it right back to the church at Antioch. Because it's that church that sent out a team to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And it was with that church that He opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Well, ascending church makes and strengthens disciples wherever they are, provides leadership and support, and lastly, celebrates and promotes God's work among the nations. Some of you here today, you might take a spiritual DNA test, a Psalm 23 and me spiritual DNA test, and it might not come back with favorable results. There's no doubt in my mind, in a room this size, and though I know that many are gone this morning, in a room this size with this many people in this room, there is no doubt in my mind that just statistically speaking, there are those in this room who are unsaved. There are those listening on the radio or on YouTube who are not saved. And I want you to hear me. If you don't know who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and why it matters, I'm not trying to scare you, but you have every reason to be fearful of both life and death. So maybe I am trying to scare you. If you have not repented of your sins and placed your faith in Christ, then you ought to be scared. Because what awaits you is not pleasant. But hear me, you can change your eternal destination right now. You can become a child of God right now. And you say, how? I want to. I need to. I have to become a child of God. How do I do that? By repenting of your sins and trusting in Christ. Let me read to you the Bible again. Can I read the Bible again? If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead, you will be saved. You want to know how to become a child of God? Repent of your sins. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And according to God's holy word, you will be saved. And if that's you, and today's the day that you're saved, next week will be the day you get baptized. Next Sunday, we'll baptize you to the glory of God. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, repent of your sins and believe. And if you do know Jesus, if you are a believer in Christ, let me challenge you with this final thought. I've said this a couple of times over the last several weeks. It bears repeating. It is not an accident that you live, work, and play in the places where you live, work, and play. God has put you there with purpose. And that purpose is to share the gospel of Christ and to help the lost come to faith in Christ. That's the purpose. Here's what you need to know. Next week, we're sending out the sent team, but every single one of us are sent. We're all sent to the places that we live, work, and play with the hope of the gospel. Do you know that if every person in this room would go out and share the hope of Christ with just one person, this place would be packed next week. It'd be packed. We'd have to pull out chairs. Some of those people would show up here having never heard of this Jesus. And when they show up, they will hear the gospel declared in song. They will hear the gospel declared in sermon. And they'll see the gospel displayed in a group of people who are sacrificing to go into Renick to plant a church so that one day that church can also become a sending church and plant another church to the glory of God. Listen, I hope and pray that if you are here today and that you are a believer in Christ, that you begin to see yourself not as a member of First Baptist, but as a missionary for God, sent out to go to the places where you live, work, and play with the hope of Christ coming out of your mouth. And watch what God does with you. If you're not a believer, I hope and pray that today is a day that you repent and believe. And if you are a believer, I pray that today is the first day that you, might be the first day that you begin to see yourselves as one who is sent to the glory of God. To God be all the glory, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful for you, so grateful for your word, so grateful for who you are and what you've done. Father, I pray that today, if there is anyone here, be it on YouTube or the radio, or in the room, Father, I pray if they don't know who you are, Lord, would you do your mighty work of saving them? Would you help them to repent? Help them to turn to you? Help them to be saved? Father, for the rest of us, would you help us to be sent? Help us to begin to view our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our schools, our families. Help us to begin seeing ourselves as missionaries to them. Father, we love you. We hand this time over to you, praying that you are glorified and magnified and made big in it. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.